peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Christ brought us peace. We search for peace. His peace will guard our hearts and minds. Peace.
Welcome, everyone, and good morning. I'm glad you all are with us as we join together in another online worship here at Riverside Church of Christ. My name is Doug Bedichek, and I'm one of the shepherds here. We're so glad you've joined us. And for many of you, this may be your first time. And so we're thankful for your presence here. We want you to know that we're a welcoming church. And when we are able eventually to get back together again in person, we'd love to have you visit us and join us. We're a church that will accept you and love you. And so we want to extend that invitation now. We're in for a treat this morning. Corey Trevathan, our pulpit minister, is continuing his series on being peacemakers, and I am delighted to let you know and introduce you to the person who will be joining him in that conversation. Her name is Laura Springer. Laura has touched the lives of thousands of youth in this community for many, many years, and her influence extends far beyond the walls of her school. She has spent over 30 years in this community living out being a peacemaker. And I am so delighted that she has accepted our offer to come on and have a conversation with Corey this morning. And I know it'll be a blessing to many of you. One quick announcement. Our Serving Together project this month in July is gift cards for teachers. We want to continue to bless teachers in our community. And so if you would, go pick up an Amazon, Walmart, or Target gift card, and you can either mail those or deliver those to Lisa Gould's address, which you can find in the Riverside app. So please do that, and thanks to Lisa for distributing those gift cards to bless our teachers. I know that you're going to be blessed this morning and be encouraged by what you're about to hear. I also want to tell you that we're going to join in worship here momentarily, and we are going to worship together with a song that our worship minister, Zach Cowdery, along with several other worship ministers in the community, collaborated on. It is a video that has been shown and shared thousands of times over the last couple of months. Many people were touched by it, and so we want to play that again for you this morning before you hear the conversation with Laura and Corey. And so be blessed as we begin worshiping together.
Shine upon and be gracious to you, Lord. favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you.
Thank you. Well, welcome everyone. I want to thank you for joining us for Church Online today as we continue this series called Peacemakers. At the heart of this series is our desire to hear the words of Jesus calling us to be a people who are working for peace. And during this series, what we want to do is we want to connect with different people who can speak into this conversation to bring different perspectives and help us as we strive to be peacemakers. Today, we are incredibly blessed to have Ms. Laura Springer with us. She is affectionately known as Ms. Springer at our house, and is held in high regard by so many right here in our own community here in Coppell. If you don't know, Ms. Springer currently serves as the principal for Coppell High School. And I wanted to have a conversation with you today because in my mind, you are a person of faith who is right here in our own community working for peace in a variety of ways. And I want to start by saying just a big thank you to you for joining us today, for sharing your time and your perspective, your love for God, and your love for others with all of us. So for those of you who may not know you, because we have people who belong to our church who are from different communities all across this area, would you just share a little bit of your story with us? Where did you grow up? How long have you lived in Coppell and served in CISD?
Absolutely, Corey. First of all, thank you so very much. You're someone I love and appreciate so very much for what you're doing for our community through your church. And of course, your family, your son is like my own. I would take him and raise him if you needed me to. So I just thank you for this opportunity. First of all, I was born in Mississippi, in Clarksdale, Mississippi, which is the Delta where the cotton fields are all around you. And a lot of poor people, but a lot of good, hardworking people who worked with their hands most of their life and blood, sweat, and tears, and neighbors and community meant the world to everybody. And I grew up in a home where my mama believed if the church door was open, we should be in the church. Mm. And so I spent a lot of time growing up being in a church, but really understanding Christ and what he meant to me later in my life and made him real to me. I came to Coppell when I was in 1985, and it was a 2A school. We had about 250 kids, 9 through 12, in the high school. And it was a one, if you went out and looked where CHS 9 is now, there used to be a North Campus, and we were all on the North Campus. There was no such thing as a South Campus. And we had that Leslie Field was the only thing out there in that big old field of weeds, but except that football field was there and that track. And it was really neat, Corey. It was such a close-knit community. Everybody knew everybody. And, you know, if I had a problem with one kid, I could tell them. And, I mean, their parent, they're come to school. They want to come and whip them at school. I mean, it was just – it was interesting. It just was a beautiful kind of community situation. And since 1985, I've been here the whole time, watched it go from 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, now 6A, yeah. And seen the groups, our community changed immensely, the demographics of our community changed, you know, and for the best. I truly believe that getting to see people and look at our differences makes us better people and makes us understand that Christ created us all. Quit being so thinking you're all holy and mighty. Look at each other and see the goodness that we each bring to each other and the differences that we look at life and how we do things. So it's been a great journey for me. 35 years, just celebrated 35 years. Wow. It's amazing. I've been here 35. I've been an educator for 39. I was down in San Angelo, Texas before I came here. And coached basketball there in the high school for 2 years, coached college at Angelo State for 2 years, and then thought, oh, I do not want to be a college basketball coach. These kids don't play because they love it. They play because they're getting a scholarship. So I decided I got to go back to high school coaching. So I came here, coached basketball, taught biology, then taught health, taught adaptive PE, worked with my special ed babies that I love so very much, and then decided to be a principal, assistant principal at the high school. Did that for 6 years. And then went to Coppell Middle School East for 12 years and was a principal there and had a beautiful, beautiful time meeting a lot of wonderful families in this community there and support. They supported me and did great. And then decided I missed Coppell High School because that's where I started everything and had spent 22 years there before. So went back to Coppell High School, and mainly because I'll be quite honest with you, Corey, there's a reason I went back. I kept saying, no, I'm going to retire. My retirement's going to be at East. I'm going to stay there because we had it put in place really well, great staff, everything. And I didn't have to work so hard. It was kind of nice, to be quite honest with you. Yeah. And God, he has an amazing sense of humor. He kept having my devotionals that I read in the morning talk about, are you really serving where you should be serving? Are you really doing what you need to be doing? And if there's a need and I've given you the opportunity and ability to do it, you need to fill that need. And I kept trying to avoid it. And then I woke up this one morning and it was about Jonah and, you know, and being carried away in the whale because he wouldn't go where he's supposed to go, to Nineveh.
Yeah.
And so I finally said, okay, God, I get it. You know, you don't have to beat me over the head with it anymore. So I'm sitting in my office, Corey. It's the weirdest thing. I that morning I had that devotional. I sat in my office. I kept thinking, okay, I'm going to talk to Brad Hunt and see what he thinks. Well, then I get a call from Brad. He goes, can I come over and talk to you? I said, absolutely. I need to talk to you anyway. Come on over. Comes to my office and he comes in and he said, will you come back and be the principal of Coppell High School? And I said, well, it's funny you should ask that today because I think that's where God wants me. So yes, I will. And he goes, are you serious? I thought I was going to have this whole spiel. And I said, no, Brad, God's a little more powerful than you. So I think that's where he needs me to be with kids right now. And so, and then this happened, Corey. So absolutely, God did want me there this year. There was a major thing. So I thank goodness I listened to him and went, and it's been a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like so often what we think our plans are and then what God's plan couldn't be any different or further apart.
Yes.
And as soon as we think we have it figured out,
yep,
God comes with a new idea for us. And you know, whenever we say yes, I feel like being obedient in those moments, that's where our faith is really lived out. And so I'm
grateful
for that story and for your obedience to follow his calling on your life, to step into that position and to love and to lead in our community in a different way. And I know,
yep,
I know as a family who was a part of East and the culture, mm-hmm, you set up there, what a blessing that was for our kids or for our, mm-hmm, son especially. Mm-hmm. And he's excited to see you next year.
Yeah,
I guess
absolutely.
Anyway, thank you for that story.
Absolutely.
You know, you talked about this, but man, 2020, what a year! Pandemic, the political tension in an election year, racial injustice that continues to surface, and so much more. I'm just curious, what has this year been like for you?
Man, this has been a year of a lot of prayer because it hit us hard. You know, we left for spring break thinking we were, you know, going to glide through the end of the year. And then this thing hit and we got their message that we were going to do online schooling. And my teachers had a week to figure out online schooling. And I was like, oh, Lordy, Lordy. And there's some that struggle in the classroom, much less being an online teacher. So you know, we really got to work on that type of stuff. But I think one of the big things about it that was so hard for me, Corey, is I have a lot of kids in that building who don't go home to a home where they're loved, where they are cared for, where they are nurtured, where they somebody tells them every day they love them and want the best for them. When we found out this was going to happen, my inbox of emails started filling up from some of those kids saying, Ms. Springer, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I need to see you. I need to be at school. You're the only one that hugs me. You're the only one that tells me I love you every day. You know, and then I had a whole nother inbox full of people that this pandemic hit and they couldn't go to work and they lived week to week on their paychecks. So they didn't have food. They didn't know how they were going to provide for their family. So I went to our PTO and we put together a situation where we raised some money and we went on every Friday and delivered grocery gift cards to families that we knew that's the only way they were going to eat for the week was for us to give them grocery gift cards. And not saying that because I think, oh, look what we've done. I'm saying that because you forget when you live in Coppell sometimes that there's need here. We think we have to go far away to feed people, to take care of people, when we really have them on our doorsteps sometimes and we just don't notice them because we're too busy living our lives. But it was when this pandemic hit, I was so worried about those kids that need school. They need to be there. They need us. And that's consistency. And we at least feed them a breakfast and we feed them a lunch every day. And we had to do something. We had to try to figure that out. And then the whole other piece of it is, as you and I have talked before, I am such a people person. I mean, God bless his heart. He has granted me with the ability to love deeply. And those kids are like my own kids. So I was like, whoo, for a while, I can understand people getting a little depressed about the whole situation because you begin to think, oh my goodness, I need people in my life. I need to hold them and love them and cry with them and laugh with them. All of those things we weren't able to do. So that part of that pandemic was very tough. And so I started making a weekly video so that I could get something out there to my kids, say, listen, I love you. I know we're not together, but I love you. And I want you to know that I haven't forgotten you. I miss you with everything in me. And these are things we need to be thinking about. This is how we get through. We don't have to live in a spirit of fear. We serve a great God who is willing to stand in that gap when we're having right now and hold on tight to us. And I worried about a lot of them committing suicide. We had a lot of mental health issues that were going on before we left. And so I was praying hard, you know, Lord, give me people that we can get in touch. And so my APs and I, we would call different kids of ours that we knew had those mental health issues and just check in with them week after week. And I just think it was tough. It was tough. It's not what I thought about my first year, but I did say, and I did talk to Brad and I go, okay, so God knew what he was doing, I know, but man, could he give me a tough assignment for the first year? And then the racial issues hit, Corey, you know, and so much anger. I mean, I haven't seen that much anger in a long time, rightful anger in a lot of ways. So I just hurt for my kids. I hurt for my Black kids who didn't believe we were standing up for them. And what are we going to do about that? And what are the issues we need to address to make that happen? And I grew up in Mississippi and I saw some of the worst things you could ever imagine happen to a person just because of the color of their skin. And I'm a person who deeply believes, I don't care who you are, you're to be loved. God told me to love you. I don't have to change you. I don't have to have you come to me looking a certain way, being a certain kind of person, wearing the right clothes, saying the right things. I'm supposed to love you and accept you. Man, I was seeing none of that happening. I was seeing a lot of just the opposite. And we have a lot of kids, Corey, who come to school and we have cliques. We have groups that they love to be in. That is kids. That's just normal. But what I do want them to realize at the end of the day is we are a family. We all have to take care of each other. And I don't mean just in schools. I mean communities. I mean churches. I mean everywhere. We have got to get that word out that we serve a Savior who's all about the answer. And, you know, Satan would love nothing more to keep us apart and to make sure that we don't love and make sure that we are looking at what's wrong with people. And we have lived, we have a lot of racial biases that we have to deal with and we have to look at. And inequities, we have to look at those things and figure out as a group, how are we going to address those and how are we going to help our kids all feel loved and cared for? And it's not just our Black kids. It goes across the board in every kind. I mean, we have, you know, all kinds of issues that come through that high school with kids and things they go through. Being a teenager just in and of itself, you remember, it's a road that's hard. But you add on top of it a pandemic, you add on top of it marches left and right because of inequities of and us just killing Black kids like crazy. Those are things, you know, that just shake the world. I mean, it just does. And so more than ever, we need Christ more than ever.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And we see right now in this current moment, it feels like there is there's so much tension. Mm-hmm. And I know even for me, and I'm sure you feel this too, it's something that you want to speak into and we do speak into, but at the same time, you're always trying to speak carefully to say things the right mm-hmm. way and make sure people know how much you care and how valued they are. Yeah. Because in the world around us, there's so much unrest and it's not just mm-hmm. political unrest. There's fear over the pandemic and then the racial injustice that we've talked mm-hmm. about. And with all that going on, there's a tremendous feeling of a lack of peace. Mm-hmm. And I want you to speak into that. I want to ask you what you think about when you think about peace, because at the heart of this series for our church, what we want to start leaning into even more than ever before is what does it mean for us to be people of peace, people who work mm-hmm. for peace? So, you know, when you think about that word in this current moment in our world, you know, what do you think about?
You know, I think about all the, like you said, the unrest and the anger and the hatred that is spewed back and forth from one side to another and judgmentalism and hypocrites and the whole thing. But I also think about, for me, there is a peace in me that I don't like this pandemic. I want it to go away, to be honest with you. But I'm living through this pandemic. I'm living through this unrest with an assurance of where I'm going to be when this life is over. I have Christ. I know I'm going to be in heaven. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. And I know he's got me and he's going to hold me. And when it's time for me to go, he's going to meet me at the door. And I'm going to say, oh, I'm so thankful to see you. It's been a rough road. Yeah. But there's a lot of people that don't have that assurance. So therefore, I think peace is knowing where you're going later in your life. I think peace is having Christ change you within and the way you look at people and things and situations. I think we've gotten so political in this world, and I am not a politician in any shape, form, or fashion, and not crazy about politics, to be honest with you. And that was one of the first things when Brad said, you're going to high school. I said, I am not suave enough to be at that high school because I'm not going to be a politician. He goes, nope, I just want you to love kids. I said, I can do that. But when I think about peace, I was reading my Bible the other night, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I love when we're talking here in chapter 14, and it says, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, I read that verse and I was like, man, is that speaking to our time right now? You know, we are not kind to one another. We are not trying to look out for the best for one another. We are not encouraging those people that need somebody to hold their hand through a storm and say, hey, we've got a Christ we want to share with you because he can make this storm bearable. We are wanting to judge and say, well, they shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be marching. They shouldn't be doing this or that. Quit judging people and just meet them where they're at and love them where they're at. I think that brings peace, Corey. I think that brings a spirit of love and care. You know, one of the things I thank God for every day is, I don't know why he did it, but he gave me such a spirit of love. I love deeply, and I don't just casually love kids. I love them as if they're my own. And I think when I think of anybody hurting one of them, man, it just rips me. It rips me, my heart right out. I can't even imagine, because one of my black kids would walk down the street and look suspicious that he could end up dead. I mean, those are things that hit me square in the face. So I am all about peace. I'm all about sharing love and kindness and caring. You know, you can ask Will, poor Will, he had to go through, we preach the fish philosophy, and that, why? But that's because it says, make someone's day, be there for one another, choose your attitude. You know, all of those things I want kids to realize, your character means something in this world, your integrity, your love for another. And the second piece of that is, we just got to quit. I think it would be more peaceful if we quit trying to get everything for ourselves. We are so caught up in ourselves. We're caught up in money. We're caught up in possessions. We're caught up in wanting to be the best, you know? And so I start from the time they were middle schoolers talking about, quit trying to be what other people want you to be. Be what God made you to be. Accept yourself. Accept the fact that you were made perfectly to be put on this earth for certain people, for certain times, for you to make a difference. So quit trying to join a group that you're not like. Quit trying to be something you're not, and quit being so judgmental of one another. You know, we teach our kids that. We do it from our examples as adults. If we would just remember at home as adults, if we don't come to the dinner table and talk bad about everybody in our life and the things in our life, our kids will have a different perspective on how they view other people and how they view things. And it's not just a home thing. It's also at school. What are we allowing? And I said the other day to somebody, Corey, somebody said, how are you going to stop all of these kids calling each other names and being angry with each other? And I said, you know what? It has to start with kids stopping kids first. They have to stand up to the bully. They have to tell him, this is not acceptable behavior. You can't treat this kid like that. And when a group of them stand up and say, if you choose to do this, you are going to alienate friends in your life. That's where you start. So I keep trying to train them, stand up, be strong. I know, preach the right thing, say the right thing, kindness for everyone. You know, you're going to be angry sometimes, but how do you deal with that anger? It's going to make a difference in your life and who you become. So I know I sound like I'm preaching, Corey. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I just want these kids to realize that life, we need peace. I'm ready for some peace. I'm ready for some kindness and some goodness and some care for one another. So whatever we have to do to get there, I'm willing to do it.
Yeah, I hear you. One of the things that we've been talking about as a church is, you know, the biblical word for peace is that word shalom, which means, you know, universal flourishing, its wholeness. Mm-hmm. It's the way things ought to be. Mm-hmm. And that's why, honestly, when I started thinking about this series, you came to mind for me, because I see that in you. I see I can see you getting emotional now thinking about how you want for our children, for things just mm-hmm. to be the way they're supposed to be, for this yep. love to exist between each other, this mm-hmm. kindness and this mutual respect and care for each other. And
yes.
you know, one of the things you're famous for, and I'm not going to surprise you with this, is how you work so hard to know every kid by name. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such an important thing that you do so well, because it communicates to those children that they are known, they are mm-hmm. valued, and they are loved. At least that's what I think of. I've never asked you about that. I'd love to hear yeah. what you think, or why you do that, why you work. That's got to be a job to do that.
Absolutely.
That hard. Can you talk about that for a minute? I didn't ask,
oh, absolutely.
Didn't ask you that. I'd love to hear you talk about that.
You know, first of all, I just have to thank God because he gave me an amazing memory. I know there's going to be a day I wake up and lose it all, but right now he has given me an amazing memory and being able to do that. And so when I go into classrooms and I can hear a kid call another kid a name or a teacher call a name, I can fixate on that face and that name and remember who they are. And then I go and I look in the yearbooks and I look at pictures and names and try to make sure I know kids' names, because to me, I honestly believe it's like you said, a kid needs to know I know them. And I don't just know them as a student in my building. I know them as a person, and they're that, you know, like that Will loves Auburn and I love Mississippi State, and Mississippi State's better, but I still love that Will loves Auburn. I mean, those are special things that I need to know about those kids. And I need to know that they play this sport, or that they love to be in the choir, and that they love to be in theater. I mean, those are things. I think if you want to reach kids and let them know and have relationships with them and care enough about them to help them change their life, you have to get to know them more than just a name, but also what does that name mean? Who is that person beyond that name? What do they care about? What is their goals for life? So I praise God. I work on it so hard, Corey. And I'm telling you what, I'm in a school of 3,000, and man, it's a struggle. I'm getting a lot, but I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I can only imagine. I think that's really amazing how you've done that. And, you know, for our son, you know, we moved here just a few years ago, and for you to, when he stepped in your school, to feel like he was known by you and loved by you. And mm-hmm. you'll be getting an email from him when he watches this back and hears your comments about all the mistakes. But I also know you'll love that. You'll love that. I'm so grateful for that. But. You know, you talk about your kids, and so I want to ask you this question. Have you ever witnessed or experienced the pain of racial bias, mm-hmm. prejudice, and is there a story that maybe you would be comfortable sharing?
Absolutely. You know, I played basketball at Mississippi State, loved being at Mississippi State. I was one of a few of the white girls on our team. We had a lot of black girls on our team. And Mississippi at that time, that was in the late 70s, you know, there still were pockets of really racial types of situations and people. And so I'll never forget, in the summers there, you could stay and they would give you a little dorm room to share with somebody else if you worked somewhere on the campus. So I decided I can be the yard crew. I went around with the guys. I had the best time. I still know the man that I worked for at that time. He was like, "You work hard." I said, "Hey, I gotta earn a living here." But I was roomed with my point guard, who was a black girl. And so we roomed together and I just adored her, and she couldn't find a job because I honestly believe because she was black, they were not giving her a job. And I said, "Don't you worry." I said, "I'm making money. We'll eat off my money. I'll buy groceries for us. I'll do everything. We'll go." Well, one day we got home. It was a Friday. I'd just gotten paid. And I said, "Let's go to," there was a little hamburger joint that wasn't far from the campus, right off the campus. I said, "Let's go have a hamburger and some fries for lunch." And I said, "I got money for us." We get there. We walk in and sit down at the table. And this lady comes up and says, "We can't serve her." And I said, "Why can't you serve her?" I said, "I have money. I have money for both of us." She said, "No, she's black. She cannot be in here." I said, "You have got to be kidding me." I said, "She is a wonderful person. You haven't even had the opportunity to know her." And she said, "Ma'am, you're going to have to get up and leave." So the owner comes over and he says, "You've got to go." I said, "We play basketball for Mississippi State." I said, "You don't think we could just sit here and have a quick lunch? We won't bother anybody." He said, "No, ma'am, we don't serve blacks in this establishment." So she got it. She goes, "Springer, let's just go. I don't want to cause any trouble." And I said, "That's fine." So I got up, I walked out, and I turned to the guy and says, "I'm going to pray for you. You really need some help." So we walk out and we go. But it broke my heart. It just broke my heart. They didn't know her. They had never seen her before. They just automatically judged because of her color. And I saw that so much when I was young in Mississippi growing up. My family, you know, they, even the way they talked, I thought, this is not who I want to be. This is not who I will be one day. And then coming to Coppell High School, when we first started having some integration happen, because when I got there, we were pretty much lily white. Mm. And as we started changing our demographics, we had our share of people who, they did not want that to happen. They were fighting like crazy. And I just couldn't understand it. I'm just like, you haven't even met these kids. You don't know who they are. And I will tell you, Corey, I've been blessed by some of the most amazing young people and learning from them and watching them handle the diversity they have to handle and the judgment they have to handle. And bless their hearts, they have a heart of gold, and they just stand up for who they are. But man, that has to hurt. We don't know what that feels like. So I just have to tell you that I'm a person who believes there is good people in this world and there are evil people in this world. And you don't know who they are until you know their character. Just because they look great on the outside doesn't mean they're an awesome person, or just because they look horrible on the outside doesn't mean they're a bad person. Talk to them, get to know them, learn to love them and see who they are. And then, you know, judge if you have to. If not, just accept everybody.
So if I heard you right, that story from your days in Mississippi State, that was in the 1970s?
It was.
Now it's 2020.
Same thing.
We're still doing the same thing.
It makes me sick. And when it started again, I said, we're not learning. We've got to learn. And this time feels different, Corey. I'm hoping this time will be different. I feel like we're finally getting enough young people to stand up and say, I want to be, have an opportunity to be the person I am and to be accepted and to be able to get the jobs and to be able to live in a place and not be arrested because I look suspicious or because I question something or whatever it might be. It's time for us to change our training of our police officers. It's time for us to make sure we change our school and how we look at way we do things in schools, and how we do things in our churches and our community. I believe God meant for us all to get along and to all love each other. Yeah. And we need to follow that.
Yeah. Amen. I believe that too. And I know you believe that in your heart of hearts. And I think it's conversations like this that's just one of the ways that we work for peace. We've got to talk mm-hmm. about it. We've got to acknowledge it.
Absolutely.
We've got to work for the change. You know, I know your love for Scripture. You've already referenced one. I want to share mm-hmm. another one with you from 1 Peter 3:11 and ask for your thoughts on these words. Peter once wrote this, "Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it." When you hear those words, you know, what do you think about?
I first think about the scripture also that says that Satan is like an evil person that just, we sometimes put him as this cosmic being that's just awful. We forget that he inhabits people and people that cause evil to be in this world, and they allow him to use them, to be evil. When I think about turning away from evil, I'm thinking about, you consistently see people who put people down, who want to do hurt others, who want to cause as much pain for other people as they possibly can because they have an elitist attitude, because they believe that we weren't created equally, that they were created better than everyone else. And they use that evil to drive other people away, to hurt them, to harm them in some way. And I think God says, flee from that. Flee from those thoughts. Flee from those ways. Humble yourselves. Being humble is one of my biggest things I would love to teach every kid. You know, just to be humble and realize you were given certain gifts and they're a gift to you. You don't need to be proud of them. You were given them because God thought you would use them for good. Now use them for good and quit trying to think you're better than everybody else. I love the other piece of that that says, look for peace and make sure you work for it. It doesn't come easy, Corey. It's something you have to continually do day after day after day. You have to look every day at your mindset, look every day at your actions, look every day at how you're treating other people and see where am I messing up? Where do God convict me? Show me where I need to be better. Show me what I need to do better. Because and when we look at it and you say, when God continually tells the one of the greatest commandments is love others as you love yourself. If we just did that one thing, Corey, what a world we would live in. We would all take care of each other. Somebody's sick on our street, we all go and take care of them and give them food or take care of them. We have an elderly person that can't mow their grass. Let me mow your grass for you. Let me help you. Let me drive you to the grocery store. I mean, we get so holed up in our homes, Corey, trying to establish ourselves and trying to make ourselves better, that we forget to give back to the world. I want to teach young people to give to others and not quit. Get over yourself. You know, find a way we can help those that need us. So you have evil flee. When you shine the light of Christ so bright, he doesn't want to come near the light. So you start shining that light. You get kids shining that light in this town and building a community of love and care and support for one another. That's when evil flees from you. That's when you know Christ is in charge and we've got this. And when we have some battles, yeah, he loves to gird up and come at us hard when he knows we're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. But if we stay close to Christ and we work hard at being people of faith and making sure that that faith is not shown just by preaching in a pulpit. It's not just shown when you show up on Sundays at church, but it is a preaching that you do the way you live your life every single day of your life in public with other people.
That's awesome. And that's exactly right. I mean, that's how we have to, it's a choice, right? Every mm-hmm. single day to be people,
absolutely.
People who work for peace. And we can either participate in that or we can mm-hmm. just check out. And maybe for far too long, we've tried to be people of peace who were silent and in the background, but not people working for peace.
Amen.
I think that's where we're sensing maybe a bit of a turn right now. I know I am in my own heart and life.
Mm-hmm.
I make that turn from being just a person of peace to being someone who wants to strive to work for peace. And
absolutely.
What could happen as a church, if it was mm-hmm. less about what happened during that 1 hour on Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
what happened the rest of the week as we went out into the world to be Christ.
And absolutely.
Just, yeah, that's it. Well, you've said a lot of good things, but I want to give you one last chance to speak into the heart of our church and just ask you this question. If you could wave a magic wand and you could help people understand just one thing, you know, what would that be for you?
I have a verse for you
okay.
that I'll end with. And it's in 1 Peter 5 and it's verse 8. And it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. If I could teach my kids anything, it's love each other. It's to accept each other. It's to realize that we all are broken, Corey. We all are. No matter how much we don't want to be, we are. We have our own problems. We have our own things we have to take to Christ every day and say, oh, Lord, help me with this. If we would realize that the more we judge, the more gaps we put between each other, the more we pull away from each other, the more we break people down and break people's hearts and make them not love themselves at all. I want every kid to have an opportunity to be themselves. I want people to accept them for who they are. I want them to see love shining forth from the adults that are surrounding them so much so that they're like, man, I need some of that. Whatever that is, I need some of that. And so then when I get them to come to me, I can say to them, hey, I serve a Christ that makes this world bearable, and give that opportunity to share that. So we have way too many kids, Corey, who want to be accepted, and they will sell anything of themselves to be accepted. And once they do that and they hit that road of hardness and realize they're so ashamed and so embarrassed, because that's what Satan loves to do, is make us ashamed of ourselves and embarrassed about making mistakes. And when they hit that, some of them don't come back from that. And I've stood at many coffins and felt horrible that we could not get them back from that. Many of them just want to belong. And so they go to groups that will accept them. And those are the groups that are into drugs, that are into alcohol, that are into those things. And I said, what if we all just accepted each other so they didn't have to search the brokenness of society to belong somewhere? I want our communities to be communities where we see a teenager and we don't all of a sudden, and he's not dressed like we are, and he doesn't walk like we walk, and he doesn't talk like we talk, and we automatically assume, oh, why is that person in our community? go up and introduce yourself and say, hey, I have never seen you here. That's what I have a kid come to my school and I haven't seen him before and they're brand new. And maybe they forgot to tell me they got there that day. I say, I don't know your face. So you're brand new to my school and I just want to introduce myself. Well, I did that to a kid one day and he's dressed, his African-American kid and his pants sagging. And, you know, he goes, I said, I'm the principal. I just wanted to come and introduce myself. I haven't seen you here before. He goes, I know you're going to tell me to pull my pants up. I said, absolutely, I'm not. I'm just here to find out what your name is because then I'll remember your name. And so he goes, really? And I said, yeah. I said, now, it would not hurt my feelings if you pulled your pants up, but I said, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to get to know you. And so he introduced himself. Well, Corey, a matter of a couple of weeks, we'd pass each other. I remembered his name. I'd say his name and say, hey, tell me how your day was. Come here. What teacher gave you trouble today? You know, da, 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 da. And we just started talking to one another. And finally, after about 3 weeks, he came up and he said, you know, Ms. Springer, I have been in so many different schools. My mom just pulls me out and puts me in a different school, pulls me out and put me in a different. He said, I don't trust any adults. I feel like every one of them just judged me the minute they see me. Mm-hmm. And he said, you're the first person that even cared about what my name was. And then you just keep talking to me and asking me how my days are. He said, I think there's something wrong with you. I said, there is. I said, there absolutely is. I said, it's called love. And I said, and you know, when you haven't seen it, it's kind of scary. I said, I promise you, I'm not a stalker or anything. I said, I just love you and I want what's best for your life. And I think what's best for your life is to be around somebody that accepts you for who you are and cares about you. And I said, and then when you feel like you trust me, you'll start hearing the things I preach and maybe you'll abide by a few of those and you'll wear pants that fit you. He busted out laughing and he goes, that sounds good, Ms. Spring. I'm going to give you a month. And if I believe everything, I'll start buying pants that fit. I said, that sounds great. So I just think those are things that we need to do. We need to give a kid a place where he can belong and adults accept and adults say, they will change, Corey. God will convict them and they will change if we just love them as they are and then teach them the things that he wants us to teach them, which is love, acceptance, kindness, and care. Other things come.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for that story. And Ms. Springer, thank you for your time today. Thank you for
absolutely. Thank you, Corey. You know me, I love to talk. So no. It was so good to get to talk about Christ and my kids. I mean, those are two of the most important things in my life.
Well, I want you to know, I mean, first of all, for me and my family, we love you. We're grateful for you. We're here for you. As a church, I want you to know Riverside is here for you. If you, your staff, your kids ever need anything, I want you to know you've got another resource. You've got a church in the community that cares about our kids and the people here and our families. And so we're here for you as well. And we would love nothing more than to know of ways we can serve and love you and our kids here in Coppell any way we can. We're praying
for you.
Thank you
so much. Well, oh, good.
And I know you're in a position that God has placed you in to love and to lead and serve in a very difficult and chaotic time. Mm-hmm. And people are looking to you for a lot of different things. And so I want you to know we're going to cover you in prayer through this season, believing that you are there for such a time as this. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God has you there and that he'll carry you and carry all of us through this.
Absolutely. Corey, thank you so much. What a blessing it's been for me today also just to get to talk to you. I like I said, I appreciate you. I love you and pray for you and your church too. But thank you so very much for loving Christ and being my brother in Christ. I just think that's awesome.
You bet. Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much.
Okay. Absolutely. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Wow. What encouraging words. What powerful words that Laura and Corey shared with us this morning. I know my heart has been touched. I pray that yours has as well. There is no doubt in my mind that God has led you to this video this morning so that you could hear those words and begin to live out what Ms. Springer has been talking about. She's been doing that all her life, and we are blessed to hear from her. I want us all this week to begin to put into action what we've heard today. So as this week goes on, go be peacemakers.